City. This is 2GO Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer.
Oh, he's all out of sorts this morning, Central Coast. Good morning. Hope you're having a better start than Mr. Rob Palmer here.
Oh, I'm flying.
No, you're not. Tell the truth.
Okay, I slept through the snooze button, but...
Your eyes are still closed.
No, they are not.
Your eyes are still closed. You just dropped your headphones. You're scrambling, man.
I'm 100%, 100% ready to go at the blocks.
You are lying.
Give me the starter's gun.
You are lying. Anyway, I've got a reason for you to get your act together. The secret sound.
Yes, indeed.
You know what the secret sound's worth today?
$30K. Oh, good.
$30,000 to guess this. 30 grand in your hand. You know what I was thinking last night? I was thinking if I won 30 grand, I'd just give both kids 10 grand each and go start saving for a house. How good would it feel as a parent to give your kids 10 grand in your in their hands?
Oh, my God. Set them on their way.
Unbelievable.
With a lot of positivity. 10Ks each worth of positivity and 10 for you.
Exactly. So we're going to play in less than half an hour's time. So make sure, Central Coast, you have got all the clues you need. You've checked all the incorrect guesses. The two clues are shopping centre and Europe.
Did I dream it? Or did you tell me that there's something else happening today?
There is definitely something else happening today. I've got another clue. It's 7 o'clock.
Yes, you do.
Another clue. Yes.
You beauty. Wasn't a dream.
It was not a dream.
Down now, that snooze button.
Go, wake up. We'll be back after Queen. It's 2GO.
107.7
2GO. I mentioned the fact that real life hadn't quite lived up to a movie or a book. Mm. Guards have foiled an escape plan by crooks at Port Phillip Prison in Victoria, their biggest maximum security prison.
So what? Yeah. It's a maximum security.
Maximum. It beggars belief.
How do you expect to escape from there?
I don't know how you expect to escape, but what happened was the guards had found, wait for this, bricks removed from the wall of a cell. They'd basically been using crude instruments, digging tools, including spoons, forks and scissors to dig their way out. So they're basically pulling bricks out, a la Escape from Alcatraz.
Gonna have to make some dummy heads, make them out of plaster, cardboard or whatever. Put them in the bunks, the guards won't know.
You're gonna steal some raincoats, some contact cement. We'll make a life raft and some life preservers out of it. I read how to do it in Popular Mechanics.
Oh,
there you go. They've credited prison intelligence, right, with foiling the attempt, but it really wasn't. No one in Victoria's prison has obviously got a copy of Popular Mechanics, age-old magazine for how to do stuff.
Well, it'd be banned from prisons, wouldn't it?
You can't
put that in the prisons because then they're just going to go, righto, I need a spoon, a raincoat.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, the warden had seen the movie. And these guys, but the problem is they've wasted most of their youth playing PS4 instead of reading Popular Mechanics.
Exactly. Back onto the National Geographic.
Start doing stuff, kids.
Yeah,
get out, get on bikes.
107.7 2GO.
107.7. It is 2GO Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer. Gale wind warnings today. Rain all day for the coast. Hazardous surf, 15, our top 11 at the moment in Edelong Beach. Let's get some more local news.
It's Mandy and Rob Palmer's Central Coast Local News Update, 107.7 2GO.
Yeah, I just mentioned the weather. It's a little bit more Melbourne-like than anything else. We are expecting this sort of East Coast low. And you know what? We're going to get some more information from the Bureau after 6:30 about what to expect locally. But certainly some gale wind warnings, rain all day, hazardous surf. Not a great day to be outside.
Yeah, looks like a thumper. Beach lovers on the coast. We might see more drones hovering above the beaches this summer. State government are extending the drones program.
Oh, good.
Now, for anyone that doesn't understand what that is doing, it's Avoca's been named among one of 18 beaches in New South Wales that'll have the protection for shark watch.
Yes.
So the drones get up there,
yep,
spot the sharks, alert the lifeguards, and then people can clear the beaches.
And they sign that shark siren, and then everyone goes, get out of the water.
Yeah, it's like the drone doesn't say, excuse me, shark, can you move along? Move along.
No.
And the sharks loiter with intent. They sit out there. But then there were 42 occasions last year where they cleared the beaches to allow the sharks to take off.
I think this is a great example of using technology in a really smart way.
Yeah.
It takes less manpower or person power to have a drone in the air checking the water than it does a helicopter.
Have you ever been swimming and seen a drone?
No, I haven't, actually.
I've seen surfers using drones to play with, right, to watch each other. But I imagine if you're in the water and you see this drone just hopping near you, you're going to be swimming pretty quick
Get
for
out.
Sure, aren't you?
Get out. Hey, we do have to congratulate all of the residents of the peninsula. This is so heartwarming and wonderful. I think you might remember, Rob, a little while ago we spoke to Catherine, one of the managers from Mary Max, which is a charity that helps homeless people on the peninsula in particular. They've managed to raise over the last month $6,000 plus get about $10,000 worth of groceries and toiletries and things to help local homeless people. And it's been a month-long campaign. They've done such a great job. And obviously the peninsula residents just so happy to put their hand in their pocket and help out, which is great. It was called the Showermaster Plate Initiative. They also provide showers and all sorts of help to people who are less fortunate than us. And
bravo.
Yeah, really good. So the donation's officially handed out today at Deepwater Plaza at 11 a.m. If you're going to do your shopping, just go and show your support for that one as well.
107.7 2GO.
So it's Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer on 30K Tuesday, 30K up for grabs with the Secret Sound. Back just before 8 o'clock this morning. Gale wind warning today, rain all day, hazardous surf 15 our top, 10 degrees at the moment in Wyoming. And I noticed something about you yesterday and I was really curious about it because I thought you would be the kind of guy that wouldn't do this.
Wouldn't do what?
Well, I thought you would have a wedding ring and I don't know why. Why haven't you got a wedding ring?
I'm not a jewelry guy. I did lose it. I had one. To be honest, I don't really, no piercings, not a piercing, no tats, I just don't.
You're a no frills kind of guy.
Pretty no frills.
Because I was going to say, you're so committed and loyal to your wife and your family.
Thanks for qualifying that first statement about when
you are. You're really committed to your family and to your wife, and I just find it really odd that you wouldn't wear it because it's such a symbol of that commitment, you know?
Well, to be honest, I had one.
Yeah.
And I've actually lost it twice.
Oh, really?
Right. First time, obviously, I found it.
Okay.
First time when I – okay, let's go there. So I was at the back of the car. It was after work. I was changing into my runners.
Yeah.
Right? I was down at Woolloomooloo.
Right.
And I was at the back of the car, and what had happened was I'd busted my knuckle about 12 months earlier playing rugby.
Yeah.
And it had swollen up. And luckily, you take your wedding ring off before you play sport or if you're using power tools and stuff because it's just a safety thing.
Yep.
But anyway, so – I couldn't get it back on after the game because it had all swollen up. And I left it off for about 12 months waiting for the knuckle to go down. Never did. So I got them to stretch it. I thought, this is what I'll do because I can't just not have it. So they stretched it and I got it on. And then eventually another year later, the knuckle came down. So it was a little bit loose.
Mm.
Anyway, I'm putting my shoe on at the back of the car and it's caught the shoe and just slipped off the end of my finger.
Oh, no.
And it's gone bounce, bounce. And you know when you see something going towards a drain?
Oh,
and
no.
Everything goes into slow motion.
Yeah.
And, so I'd gone to the drain and bloop, in it went. I went, jeez.
No.
A drain in Woolloomooloo can't be good. Anyway, so I took the drain off. You know, the old school drains that you could lift out if you lost a tennis ball.
Yes.
Yeah. So I lifted the drain out and thought, no, it's full with liquid. And floating.
Gross.
Floating yucky stuff.
Yeah.
I've gone to the service station across the road, got one of those little trays that they used to sweep into with a long stick
pan,
on it.
The dustpan.
The dustpan with a stick attachment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I got that and I've started dredging this thing for it. Not working at all. So I've rung a pool cleaner. This is an hour later.
You've rung a pool cleaner?
Because he had a net. Anyway, so he's come with his net. And a little rug. And we started dumping the contents of this drain that was about a metre and a half deep with water.
Gross.
Onto this blanket.
Yes.
And started
and
to shake.
Sifting through it.
Like we were panning for gold. Anyway, we were panning for my bloody gold
ring. You
were. That's
what we were.
So anyway, we found it.
That's remarkable that you found that.
Yeah, I didn't put it straight on because.
Because you're old. Oh, I hate germs Palmer.
Kind of. Anyway, so I took it home, cleaned it, put it on, right? So.
That's remarkable that you found that, though.
And
can I just say, genius idea getting a pool cleaner.
How about that?
Well done.
I know.
So then you lost it again.
Yeah. So we went to Mystery Bay. And this is why I've never got another one, primarily because it was in Mystery Bay. So life's a mystery and my lack of a wedding ring now is a mystery. But I was throwing balls to the dog in the surf. Through and those rings come off the end of my finger into the surf, and as soon as it hits the surf,
it's gone. Yep.
We went back at low tide even and started scraping around all the rocks and stuff for about 2 hours. My brother-in-law, my brother and myself, no wedding ring. So Mystery Bay has taken my wedding ring and I've just sucked it up. And you know
but
what?
But don't you feel sad about that? Like, I'd feel really sad as, and as, what does Gwen
sad?
Think? Yeah, what does Gwen think? Like, does she not want you to have a wedding ring?
Her dad doesn't have one.
But wouldn't doesn't she want you to have a wedding ring? Like, does she not feel sad about? I'd feel sad about that.
No, not really. I feel quite. I'm happy because I do a lot of things where I don't need a wedding ring on because it's a bit dangerous, and I don't like
such
jewelry.
A boy
I don't
answer.
Don't like attachments.
That's such wearing, a boy answer.
Wearing glasses is hard enough.
Yeah,
and that's taken 44 years.
There you go. Well, let's ask how other people lost
did
their
you
ring.
You lose your ring.
Yeah,
there's some cracking stories. Well, I'm sure.
It's 107.7 2GO with music that makes you feel good on this rainy Tuesday morning on the Central Coast. Gale wind warning, rain all day, hazardous surf as well. It's all a bit yucky. 15 our top, right now 10 in Woi Woi Bay. And it is breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer. We're talking about the fact that Rob doesn't wear a wedding ring, which really surprised me because you're such a family man. You're so committed to Gwyneth. No,
Gwenthian. Close.
Yeah, and you just told us how you lost it.
Well, yeah, I was basically, I've lost it twice. The first was down a drain in Woolloomooloo and I dredged it for hours getting all sorts of things you
Gross.
Don't want to actually talk about on air. Yeah, out of that drain. And then the second time down at Mystery Bay where I threw a ball to the dog and it popped off into the surf and see you later.
So we're asking how you lost your ring this morning. Jason from San Remo, hi.
Hey, Jason.
Jace, come in, Jace.
Jason.
Oh, Jace.
Hello.
Oh. Yeah, how happy are we to hear your voice?
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, we've got you back now. How'd you lose your ring, Jace?
Okay, this is going back 2001, not long after I just got married.
Yeah, right.
I was working for Simi Pine, had an argue with the truck driver, like fist to fist.
Ooh. Oh.
Right.
And didn't even notice it when I went back to work and that. Went home. My wife goes, where's your wedding ring? We're going out. I said, oh, I wouldn't have a clue. So I went back to work and tried to find it. And my boss goes, what's wrong? I said, oh, I lost my wedding ring. My missus going to get in crack with me. So I said, oh, don't worry about it. I'll come back another time. No, I went back to work on Monday morning. The guy came from the front and said, oh, did you lose anything? I said, yeah, me wedding ring. He said, oh. I said, I've got a present for you.
Hang on. Is this the guy that you had fisticuffs with?
No, and another guy picked it up when he ran over it with a scooter.
Oh, so was it flat?
No, it was completely perfect. It was just being banged around somewhere on the concrete.
Wow.
For some reason on that weekend, he was riding a scooter and he went over it and he thought, hang on, that's something.
That's so bizarre.
He said, oh, Mark, I found a ring. I said, yeah, that's Jason.
Geez, Jason, I can just imagine a little blue with you and this other bloke. He got you in the headlock and he's giving you the knuckle dusters on the top of the head and he's gone, oh, there's a ring. And then he's gone the finger wriggle to try and get it off like a Chinese burn. Oh. And you didn't even know it was happening.
Anyway, Jace, we're going to send you along to the Seen and Heard Festival where you can see Wolf Mother, Eskimo Joe and a whole heap of other artists. It's going to be fantastic. Thanks for your story.
107.7 TGO.
It's a wild, woolly one for your Tuesday. Gale force wind warning around the coast. Rain all day. Hazardous surf. It's not great. Roads are a bit slippery as well. 15 our top today. 10 degrees in Copacabana at the moment. And let us know if you see anything in your travels on the roads because they do get a bit wet and slippy at this time of, you know, with high rainfall and there's always a few big puddles around.
I noticed Wells Street starting to fill up on the
yes.
way to the studio this morning.
You were there doing your little weather report
That's
at Wells
right.
Street a little while ago.
It's not quite like that.
No.
Which was, what, almost shin deep.
Yes.
But it's certainly filling up. So
yep, 13, 27, 10 if you see anything in your travels. All right, let's get a little bit law and order. Because this story has come out of the States, which just makes me go, what? Now, this is a 20-year-old cold case. I just love that sound. That is the best sound ever. Whoever found that and made that, I mean, hats off. That is
right,
genius.
You're going to wear it thin soon.
I am going to wear it thin soon. All right, once more. All right, that's it.
You
I won't
are
do
a
it
binge TV.
I won't do
you?
It. I won't do it. This is a 20-year-old cold case that got solved over in the States. It's a bit of a sad one. Back in the 90s, in the late 90s, a guy disappeared and he just went missing without trace. And nobody knows where he went and why he disappeared. And his family were left with no closure. He wasn't a drinker. He wasn't off the rails. He was a normal guy.
Just poof.
Just went. Mortgage broker just disappeared, right? And they haven't had any closure for 20 years. And that must be pretty awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, then this guy who's a surveyor, he's just a local property surveyor from Florida. He's just, you know, Googling and doing browsing on Google Maps when he sees, sorry, I had to do it again. He sees a car that's partially submerged in a pond.
What?
Right? In a house nearby. And he goes, hang on, there's a car submerged. I'll let the property owner know. So he goes and lets the property owner know, who goes, right, oh, I better get this dud car out of my dam or out of my, you know, the pond. Pulls the car out and there's the guy in there from 20 years ago. So case solved. I mean, it was good closure for the family and they got to know what happened to him. Which
well, how about the guys that are using Google Maps? Like, because the coast has got plenty of them. Roofers use it all over the place.
Oh, do they?
Right, to measure roof sizes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you measure a building. If you're doing a, you know, a measure the area of the boundaries of a property or something, if you're doing building work.
Yeah,
so you use it all the time. This surveyor, he, who knows what he was actually doing, but
well, I have to say there's a whole community of people that are also solving crimes with Google Maps. Like there are just, you know, people who consider themselves kind of undercover sleuths who are getting on Google Maps and
they're
having
the
people
that write letters into TV stations.
Maybe, but they're just doing their own little research and solving crimes all over the place. And there's a whole bunch of crimes that have been solved because of people looking at Google Maps.
Bit of their own Dead Poets Society.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
Last time I used Google Maps, I still saw my place with the palm tree that I cut down 10 years ago. It's
still there. 107.7 2GR. Gale warnings today and rain all day. Hazardous surf conditions for the Central Coast. 15 hour top, 10 degrees in San Remo. In fact, let's get the weather. Let's get it from the horse's mouth. From the Bureau of Meteorology, joining us to talk about this East Coast low that we've got is Jordan. Hello, Jordan.
G'day, Jordan.
Yes, good morning.
I couldn't pronounce your last name. That's why I didn't say it. How do you say your last name?
It's Notara.
Notara. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, Jordan. What can you tell us about this East Coast low that we're sort of experiencing the start of at the moment?
Well, firstly, I guess it's not a typical East Coast low. What we've really got is a low-pressure system which is forming off the coast. East Coast low is definitely a very severe system that we want to, I guess, separate from this. What we are seeing, I guess, at this stage for today is steady rain for the Central Coast, which is going to, again, continue as we get towards the afternoon and see some more intense rain fall around those coastal parts as we get towards more likely the afternoon-evening period.
Mm.
Now, we had seen in the last week some pretty intense rain over multiples of days, which again caused those minor floodings around the areas of the Central Coast. This event is going to be more like a one-off hit, so we are going to see quite intense rainfall potentially around coastal areas. So again, being mindful on the roads as we get to and from work and from schools for today is going to be the main message for everyone out. And again, as we get towards today and anyone going anywhere near the waters, if they are so bold, being careful, obviously, because we have got some hazardous surf conditions out there as well.
Yep.
Now, Jordan, last time we had rain on the Central Coast, I mean, Gosford recorded more rain in a day and a half than it had had normally in an entire month.
Mm.
And, you know, this weather pattern's coming through and it's going to dump rain again. It seems as though these massive events followed by long periods of dry, hot weather. Is there any explanation behind that or is this just a freak occurrence?
So it's typical spring weather, really. So it's basically we see in spring, basically the middle ground between summer and winter. So winter, you obviously see those quite strong cold fronts that move through. So those warmer days heading to those really cold days, then back and forth. And obviously summer, you see those more intense warm days and storms. So today, we are basically right in the middle. So we're seeing rainy conditions. We may see some storms hit around the coastal fringe in some periods. But by the time we get towards tomorrow, it's going to be away from these rainy conditions, more to some more showery conditions for the next couple of days. And then by the time we get towards Friday, we are going to see again the return of more spring-like conditions. So more 20s degree temperature days compared to what we're again seeing, those sort of more teens today for the Central Coast.
Yeah, a bit of a drop in the temperature from the beautiful sunny weather we've had. But
so it's pretty normal spring conditions.
Pretty
and we've
normal.
Just got to batten down the hatches as the storm front comes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. So it is going to be one to, again, if you want to keep warm, being indoors obviously is the easiest way to do that. Obviously,
oh, I
you
hear
get
you.
Wet and you get windy.
Yeah.
All those things combined together to make it feel much, much, much colder than it really is.
Oh, well, thank you. That's Jordan Natara, the Bureau of Meteorology forecaster, helping us out with our local conditions here on the Central Coast. But look out for local flooding. He said just take care on the roads, and we are going to expect a big dump later on today.
And just remember that Ugg boots are made for indoors at home only.
107.7 CGO.
So we had the 21st on the weekend. I know I've been banging on about it quite a bit. My daughter Coco's 21st.
You have, but what an event.
An extravaganza.
I have seen some photos and blow me down.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of effort went into a lot of that place.
It did.
And wow.
It was, I have to say, it was the biggest party I've ever organised and had at my house. So it was pretty epic. And I have to really thank my amazing family who I could not have done this without them. They came from Adelaide. They helped set up. They helped clean up. Me and Dad were still doing things with tarps and, you know, bottles yesterday.
Well, your dad did a homemade wee trough for the boys attached to a fence.
He did. You can see that online if you want. He made a urinal.
Standout performance from the trough.
They all helped clean up and clear up and pack up and, you know, they just were so fantastic. Anyway, yesterday I said to Coco, my daughter, what do you want to do with the photo rocket? Now, the photo rocket was made by her and my ex-husband, her dad. It's basically around 2 metres high. It's made out of plywood and there's two circular cutouts, two portholes, if you like, or windows. And basically she got all of her friends to stick their heads through and take photos as if they were in a rocket.
Yeah. It is, the rocket, just if anyone that hasn't seen it, it's got a cartoony look about
it,
but also a real rocket look about it. So it's a slash cartoon slash real movie. And it's one of those things that, you know, if your kids are young and this comes out at every party, basically. Yeah. Well, you're going to have space themed parties for the rest of your life.
The problem is, though, I'm not going to have space themed parties for the rest of my life.
No,
and I need to
21.
Get. Yeah, that's it. And I need to get rid of it. So, what I thought, I've put it on the 2GO Instagram and Facebook page. So, if you want to check it out at 2GO FM, what I thought is maybe there's a kindy or a school that wants it. Maybe there's a family.
I see where you're going.
Maybe there's a family just having their own space party coming up. You know, maybe there's a kid who's 5.
And they need a rocket.
Now, I do have to say, you might need to put a little step at the back for really little kids because it's kind of built for teenagers. But all it would need is a little, just one of those little plastic steps you can get from the cheap shop or whatever. And
stick your face in the back of it and you are automatically an astronaut in a rocket.
Correct.
And it is a brilliant thing. You and your daughter are both so creative. And what you've done with that rocket is just magnificent.
Thank you. I didn't actually have anything to do with it. My ex-husband and her did it. And they did a brilliant job because they're perfectionists. So they were measuring the diameter of all the circles.
It looks like it's been bought in a shop.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Maybe you want it as a prop. Maybe you've got a stage production or something and you want it as a prop. A spaceship warning, because I have a spare rocket to give away this morning. It's a rocket.
It's a cracker, Mandy. I don't want you to talk it down. This thing is fantastic.
It's a leftover prop from my daughter's 21st. Her and her dad made it, and they made it so well. They're both perfectionists, and they labored over this spaceship for 2-3 weekends. They painted it. They measured the circular windows, and the cutout circular windows are fantastic because you can put your head through and take a photo and look like you're an astronaut in a rocket ship. But I've got no use for it, and I thought maybe somebody in a school or somewhere might be able to use it. And I think we've got Jenny from Edelong on
the phone.
Hello,
Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hello. Hello. How are you going?
Good. So you work at which high school do you work at?
I work in Asquith at high school.
Okay. And do you think there would be a need for a photo rocket ship?
Well, we have a TAS display coming. I work in the TAS department and the theme is Interstellar or In TAS Stellar.
In TAS Stellar.
What's a TAS department do?
We do all the fun stuff at school. So we do food tech and textiles and woodwork and hospitality, design and tech, all those sorts of things.
Oh, TAS an acronym. All right, good
that's
stuff.
That's cool. You belong in the best part.
I do.
You do.
Very lucky.
So you've got an interstellar theme coming up.
We have a big TAS display at the end of the year and we have all the kids' projects out. And the theme this year, one of the girls designed the theme and it was an interstellar theme. So it's
This would fit perfectly. Do you want to take this rocket and have it at your interstellar theme?
I think I would love to. I think it would be great.
Yeah, Jenny.
Well done. I'm really glad that it's going to a good home. So we will pop you on hold, get your details, and work out how we're going to transport this rocket. Right. Because unfortunately, it doesn't actually fly.
That's reusing stuff.
Yeah.
Much better than wasting stuff.
I don't want to put it out on hard rubbish. Yeah, that's it. Great stuff, Jenny. Thanks for your call.
107.7 2GO.
107.7 2GO. It's music that makes you feel good on a rainy Tuesday morning. Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer. Gale wind warning today. Rain all day. Hazardous surf. Stay indoors if you can. And be careful on the roads. Top of 15. Right now, 10 in your Minor Beach. And right now, time to catch up to a couple of my favourites. Shouldn't say it, but I can. From the block, the Spunk Rats from WA, Elise and Matt.
G'day, guys.
Oh, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes.
How about Mandy? She's got a girl crush on both of you.
I'm excited to talk to you. We talked to you a few weeks ago and I did ask then when it was going to be Matt's turn to cry. Fair to say, last night on the block, Matt, we nearly saw you crack it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Look, we're halfway through now and I thought the tears would have to be coming soon. So
yep.
And Elise has had a fair bit, so I thought I might have to join in.
He's starting to feel sorry for me.
Yeah.
He's not made of stone after all.
No. But it was the funniest thing was that you lost it over a bloke. You lost it over Mighty, who is the tradesman who is shared by all of the block members. So looking back, are you okay with the fact that you lost it over a tradie out of all of the things you could have lost it over?
That was the only thing I would lose it over, to be honest. Losing it over a tradie, yes.
And then you got a muffin. You got a muffin and all was well. So the question is, Elise, is he just hangry? Does he just get hangry?
Matt, have you eaten today? Do I need to go prepare you something? The pool of Marty is the funniest thing in the world. You've never seen 10 grown humans pull over one man. If we could split him in quarters, we could.
It's fantastic. Well, look, we are watching really closely. I'm enjoying all of it. Since we spoke to you last, of course, there was the big hoo-ha about Mitch and Mark's party room and all the drama that happened there. Is it harmonious? Is it harmonious at the moment?
Oh, I think the plot starts to thicken in this week and things start to happen, but it is very harmonious. We are still a tight-knit group, but it is a game at the end of the day.
It sounds like everyone is harmoniously poor and that there's been a lot of concern about getting to the finish line. Is that a big thing for you guys at the moment?
Yeah, massive thing. Look, we've had a little bit of money come in, but you're still struggling every day about what you can spend and whatever else. And it's the trades really that are the bill that's coming through. I said everyone's in the same boat. We're trying to complete rooms as fast as we can. So you're trying to throw a few extra guys at it. And when you don't win rooms or if you don't win challenges, you just don't get that cereal and, it's not really great.
You guys strike me as two fairly strategic players out of everyone. Everyone else seems to be a little bit hard on their sleeve. How strategic are you being, or have you been?
Funniest thing is we're completely probably the opposite. We came in here and we're like, right, we're going to stick in our own lane. We're not going to worry about what anybody else is doing and we're going to do exactly what we want. And that is what we have done. If that's strategic, I don't know. But you kind of get caught in the firing line of everyone else.
Yeah. Now, listen, you guys have got three kids. We've got a loose parenting party happening on Friday. Now, this is just a little thing that we do on the show.
Can I just say, for anyone that doesn't know, your kids, Baxter, Charlize and Maverick, they're 8, 6 and 5. That's a pretty tight pack of kids.
It is.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
So what I want to know is,
do you
have a loose parenting story for us?
Yeah, do you know the funny thing is I actually do. Matt's a country boy and we spent a bit of time at the country as well. And it's one day the kids just went out down the road and in terms of in the paddock and nothing can happen. It's very safe. And they're playing in the mud. And I was like, I could see them from a distance. It's all good. They've come back and I could smell something. I'm like, that smells a little bit odd for mud. What's that? They had rubbed cow manure all over them, not mud. Parenting perfection. I was like, well, at least the skin's going to be awesome.
finger licking good.
Oh, fantastic.
Came out quite quickly.
Oh, that is gross. Thank you for sharing that. That is exactly what we're doing. We're celebrating all of those moments as parents where we just kind of take your eye off the ball a little bit. So, look, if you were in the same state, we would invite you to our loose parenting party happening on Friday. But unfortunately, I know you're not. But thank you for chatting to us this morning. You're halfway through the block. Halfway to go, guys.
Yes. Yay.
Good luck. We'll chat to you before the end.
Top darts, you two.
Love you guys.
See ya.
107.7 2GO.
I heard you firing up, Rob, about this. The government is seeking to ban parents from sleeping with kids at short-term rentals.
Ludicrous. And that's as polite as I can be. Who does not have their kids jump into bed with them?
Well, me, because my son's 19 and my daughter's 21, and that would be awkward.
All right. Okay. Single yourself out. I have got a situation where I'll have three kids, bang, in the morning. Or my 14-year-old son now, he's past it, right? But I'm holding on. I've got a 12-year-old jumps into bed. I'll sleep with my 12-year-old and 5-year-old sometimes.
Okay.
Gwen will go and sleep in the spare room and the kids will have a cozy in with dad.
All right, so I want to
know. Sometimes there's four of us.
All right, okay, wow, it sounds crowded to me. This is in particular around short-term rentals. So we want to get to the bottom of this. And joining us right now from Stays, the Corporate Affairs Director, Eacham Curry. Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Look, we're good. Tell us, what is this ban about?
Okay, so look, it's not a ban yet, but it is a proposal that the New South Wales government has got that would seek to try and limit the numbers of people that can be hosted in any room in a short-term let property to two. And we've got some concerns about that for some pretty simple reasons. You've just sort of identified a couple of them. They are that if you're a new parent and you've got a young baby, it's impractical and just plain silly to think that you wouldn't have that child with you in the room where you're sleeping.
Mm.
It just doesn't make sense. And it doesn't take account of a situation where you might have a child who is a bit older, and it could even be a teenager. They wouldn't be in the bed with you, but they might be a child of special needs or special consideration, and they need to be in the same room with you as well.
Sure. Do you think that this is something that a struggling tourism industry is trying to implement in order to raise more money and actually sell more rooms?
Look, I'm not 100% certain what the driver is, but what I do know is that there are things that are driving concerns that are leading to proposals like this for regulation, and we think it's the wrong path. There are legitimate concerns that people have got about things like party houses, and there have been a couple of isolated incidents. So let's be clear, it does happen, but they are isolated, and it does mean that there is a problem that needs to be dealt with.
You're talking about those houses, I suppose, that you see on Airbnb and Stays that have maybe four or five rooms, and then you get those large groups of people, maybe sometimes families, but also sometimes parties.
I've done it, yeah. Where you get to three families in the one property, yep, and you all stay together, and you do bunk up a little bit.
I know, but I suppose those isolated incidents that Eacham is talking about is when things get out of control, right?
Yep. Well, we're really proud to be able to say that we haven't had a single instance of the party house being identified as a problem that's been booked through our website.
We're really
proud of that.
Yeah, that is.
But that goes to something else, and it goes to the heart of the issue here. It's about how you educate not only the people that let their properties, but how you help them to educate the people who want to come and stay on how to be a good guest.
Exactly.
And the New South Wales government should be congratulated for actually developing a code of conduct which can do these things without then needing to have a punitive measure like limiting the number of people in rooms or capping the number of people who can visit a property to 12. It's an arbitrary figure and it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. The other thing is, who's going to police this? I mean, can you imagine you're in your beautiful Stays, you know, room and you hear this knock at the door. Oh, hi, it's the bedroom police here.
Is that a child in there with you?
I'm rather hoping that it doesn't result in this grand new bureaucracy of Mrs. Mangles.
Yeah, Mrs. Mangles. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, thank you for joining us to clear some of that up, Eacham. Great to chat to you this morning.
Lovely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Eacham.
That's Eacham Curry from Stays. He's the Director of Corporate Affairs.
107.7
2GR. Hey, we just talked about this new proposal for short-term rentals like Stays and Airbnb.
Yeah. How about old mate Eacham Curry saying basically that they're looking at new laws that mean you can't have more than two people in a room on a short stay?
If there's not enough beds, yeah. So it's an interesting one. And you started talking about sleeping with your kids.
I've got a 12-year-old jumps into bed. I'll sleep with my 12-year-old and 5-year-old sometimes. Gwen will go and sleep in the spare room and the kids will have a cozy in with dad.
And I just started thinking, when is too old to be sleeping with your kids, do you think?
I think the kids decide that. I don't have a too old line.
You don't have a too old line?
No way.
So if Greta's 16 and she wants to get it and she wants to sleep.
Can I sleep in bed with you? I'll go, come on in, darling.
Really?
Yep, lie down. I love you. And then, you know, and we'll.
I don't know. I just go,
please.
I don't know. 16 feels a bit weird, doesn't it? Look, my 21-year-old daughter slept with me on the weekend because we needed her bed for other people.
Selfless act.
So she had to get kicked out of her bed and she joined me. And, you know, that's just what, you know, you do when you've got family staying and whatever. Every bed was full. But I just think, I don't know. It's a bit weird, isn't it? To sleep with 16-year-olds.
Well, the thing is, right, they're going to turn around at some stage very soon, and I'm assuming that day is imminent with my 12-year-old Branny, right? Mm. She'll say, I've had enough. But, you know, when I was 12 years old, I would go in and sleep in my parents' room, but I'd usually just go in and take my doona with me and sleep on the floor because I was a bit scared.
Aww.
Even when I was getting, you know, up to about 11.
Yeah, right.
Let's say.
I find this a fascinating question, don't you?
I like the catch up with the parents in bed. I think there's nothing wrong with that as long as you want.
I'll sit in bed and have a cup of tea with Mum when I stay at her house in Adelaide, but she's 75.
You don't roll over and say, let's go to sleep?
No, never, 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 never.
I will lie back, both girls, lying in the bed, right? I'm lying back there, right? Gwen's already ejected herself or
I don't blame her. Too crowded in that bed for me. I'm right. Out. I
she
am
wants
out.
A good night's sleep.
Yeah.
But I'll sing bedtime stories. We'll lie back and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, we'll sing songs and...
It's lovely, but I just think there's got to be a cut-off age, surely. There's got to be an age where you just go, right, you're too old, back in your own bed.
Let them keep coming for cuddles with Dad.
All right, I'm going to ask this question because I'm really keen to find out what other people think. How old is too old for kids to sleep in bed with you? We're talking about Rob Palmer sleeping with his kids.
I've got a 12-year-old jumps into bed. I'll sleep with my 12-year-old and 5-year-old sometimes. Gwen will go and sleep in the spare room and the kids will have a cozy in with Dad. What's the problem?
No problem. I'm happy for you and I think it's fabulous. It's lovely. It's warm. It's cozy. It's beautiful. Thanks. However, there's a cutoff date. There's got to be a cutoff date because I cannot imagine sleeping with a 16 or a 17-year-old. I just think it's weird.
Well, if they want to jump into bed and have a hug and say, Dad, I love you, let's go to sleep, I'm all over it. No problem.
I'm just
no
curious
problem.
About
I'll
what
cop
the
that love as long as it's available.
It just feels a bit weird to me. I just want to see what the rest
the
of the coast
The phones have
think.
Lit up.
I know. People are going crazy for this. Chris from Copacabana, you're in the car in the rain, which we can hear it. What do you think?
I agree with Rob. I think it's ridiculous. As a father of four, two boys and two girls, there have been plenty of times, not just when they were young, where they shared a room or shared a bed with mum and dad. One time, we at short notice had to go to the Gold Coast. It was a two-bedroom unit. Me and the two boys shared one double bed, and Wendy and the two girls shared the other double bed. Even now, and our kids are growing up, the youngest is now 19, if they're really sick or being ill or being in hospital, one of us will move out so that they can share the bed with mum or dad. They often do it with mum. But I'm with Rob. If my kids want to jump in and give you a hug and tell you they love you, I'm a teacher and a counsellor. I see no problem with it at all. It's not like you're doing it every night.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough, Chris.
You got me rolling up, mate. That's
beautiful. That's a good point. I mean, you know what? It's
well said from the heart, and
okay.
I love it.
We just need to move away from your line, sorry, Chris, because the rain was too good, too hard there.
Too good, too strong.
Too strong.
That's too good.
But we are going to bring you along to our loose parenting party. Doesn't sound like you're a loose parent. Sounds like you're an amazing parent. Let's go to Shane in Empire Bay. What are your thoughts, Shane? What's too old to be sleeping in the parents' bed?
Well, my mum and dad were in a nursing home, ending, and they're gone now. But I used to jump on the bed with Dad and reminisce about stuff that he'd forgotten. And we'd both fall asleep, and he was happy, I was happy, and yeah.
Okay.
So there's no age limit.
Okay, well, look at this.
Shane,
the Central Coast is behind
bless you.
You.
Mate.
Well done, Shane. We'll see you Friday at our loose parenting party. Let's go to Sharon in Narara. What age do you think's too old to sleep with your folks, Sharon?
Oh, gosh. Seven.
Seven?
Seven. Okay. Righto.
Jeez, are your kids coal mining?
We only have one son. He's 15. They're, no, you can't do it. It's weird. It's freaky.
Mm.
My best friend, her son's 14, and he sleeps with her every night.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, there's some people here that are saying that that's okay, but I'm with you. I do feel like, oh, it's a bit strange. But well done to you for giving us a call and having your opinion. We'll see you Friday at the Loose Parenting Party. Let's go to Daryl. Hi, Daryl.
How you going, Mandy?
Yeah, good. What do you think?
Mate, I'm with Rob and the other two boys. I'm a single father with a 15-year-old son. He's got special needs, and to this day, he hasn't slept a full night in his bed.
Yeah.
And, mate, I'll take it as long as I can get it because they grow up too quick, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear you, Daryl.
Look at this.
They do grow up far too quickly.
I stand corrected. Daryl, we'd love to see you on Friday at our Loose Parenting Party. We've got time for one more quick one. Marjorie from Woi Woi.
Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Marjorie.
Hi. I'm 23 and I still jump in the bed of my parents. I think it's okay. Like, especially if you're sick or something, like, there's nothing like your parents' bed. It's the comfiest place.
Oh, Marjorie.
What a daughter.
When I was a kid, the same as you, I used to get my dinner and I'd say, can I please just leave on the floor? Because I used to get scared. So don't even worry.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we'll see you Friday at our Loose Parenting Party. We'd love to meet you at the Sunken Monkey on Friday as we celebrate parenting and all things parenthood.
I have never been so tickled listener support.
Well, you know what? I stand corrected.
The support of the coast.
I stand
thank
corrected.
You. Good
and,
on you, Mandy.
And different strokes for different folks, but thank you, everybody. Who
it
called.
Wasn't a whitewash.
No.
Got to remember.
We had one caller support an age limit. But you know what? You do you, Rob Palmer. You do you.
107.7
TGO. I'm really excited, Rob, because I'm getting to introduce you to one of my dear friends.
You've been bouncing up and down for the last half hour.
I have indeed, because a little while ago I took a break from radio and I got an amazing job with an amazing organisation called Options Disability Support. And in that organisation, there's a theatre company called Options Theatre Company. And from Options Theatre Company, joining us right now is the artistic director, Stuart Smith.
Hello.
Hang on. Are you on? Sorry. Wrong microphone. There we go. I've stuffed it up. So thank you for coming along. You've got a performance happening this week.
Yes, this week, Thursday and Friday, Clash at Titan High, Mandy. It's
now,
very exciting.
For anyone that doesn't know the Options Disability Theatre Company, you do performances, like big productions like this, once a year?
Yeah, once a year. Well, we started off doing them once a year and we're about to start moving into more and more shows a year as well because now we have more people that have joined us.
Yeah, well, word is out.
Huge. A huge amount of people have joined.
So for someone that doesn't know, like maybe Rob.
Right. Yeah. So I don't have a lot of experience with, you know, options, disability programs and the like. And let's say I'm a theatre lover, which I am, and I think I might want to go to a show. Yeah. What sort of show can I expect? Where's the level of professionalism, on the scale?
Okay, so a lot of people expect when they see something that sort of comes under the label of disability theatre, they sort of expect something to be, and Mandy said it before, they expect something that might be basic, but it isn't.
No.
They get something that is quite the opposite of basic. It's quite extra.
It is.
You're getting a full-blown musical that we've written with the guys and workshopped. And we try and look at sort of contemporary issues and things like that, but make something that's really fun for the audience. And it's a big deal for everybody. There's 60 people on stage and all they really want to do is exceed your expectations, really.
Yeah, sure. And the backstage elements, like what sort of, you got your full lighting tech and
full lighting.
You know, you may as well be at the opera house.
Yeah, may as well be. And this, the people who are working on the show are all professionals. They're all coming from a professional theatre background. So you've really got unreal lighting. The sets look amazing. The music is top notch and the singers sing and it's
and honestly, it's you just come away feeling so fantastic. It's always uplifting. Yeah. It's always
incredible.
I imagine
as an audience member, you watch this and you realise the power of the performer in this situation. Not only, it's mounting over the top of a disability, but producing something that's outstanding on stage for the general public to admire.
It's about abilities, basically. It's about saying this is what we can do, not what we can't.
And it's what we can do the best.
Yes.
So these guys, none of these guys want to be thought of as like a babysitting service or we're coming here to put on a little show for you. They want this to be as pro as it possibly can. And it is. It's one of the most professional theatre companies on the coast that you'll see.
Well, awesome. It's actually one of the most professional theatre companies in the country. country, I would say. Now, it's called Clash at Titan High.
Yes.
So are we talking ancient Greek land? Are we talking loincloths, Medusa? What have we got here?
So I always thought the Medusa story was really unfair. You know Medusa, how she sort of fell in love, Poseidon fell in love with her, and Aphrodite got angry, and Athena turned her into a snakehead gorgon. And
Did
Medusa turn you to stone if she looked at you?
If she looked at you, that's right.
Yeah.
So we've taken all of those characters and put them in high school and sort of done it from Medusa's point of view. So that she's kind of the new girl in school and she's got to learn how to be a hero. And Titan High is a school to where you learn to be a hero.
It's got everybody
in Icarus and Narcissus, Zeus, Poseidon, they're all in it.
Oh, this sounds fantastic, but they're all in a high school situation.
Have you ever seen the movie Clash of the Titans?
It was from the 80s. It was hilarious.
Like a Ray Harryhausen film with some, really funny stuff.
Kind of like Muppet Babies.
All that stuff put together.
Fantastic. So this is happening on Thursday night and Friday night at Laycock Street Theatre, 7:30 p.m. There's a 20-minute interval. It sounds incredible.
So Friday night is sold out.
Friday's sold out. So it's sold out within half an hour of it going on.
Oh, look at that.
So we've only just been able to release Thursday night shows, knowing that it's going to be on in a couple of days. So we think we might try to do some giveaways or something that we can.
Oh, we can do some giveaways. Absolutely. Yeah. If you would like.
We don't have lots of tickets left, but we thought that might be fun.
Well, I guess half the coast probably didn't know there was a Thursday show.
They wouldn't have. It's only just happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, if you want to get. I'm going to the Thursday show, by the way, and I cannot wait. I am so excited. If you want to join me and go to Clash at Titan High by Options Theatre Company, 7:30 at Laycock Street Theatre, give us a call right now. 1327 10 is the number. All the best. Chookers, as they say in the industry.
It's good to see you again as well.
It's great to see you.
Rob, getting the team together.
Getting the whole gang together.
Good luck with the last few days of preparation. Yeah,
they don't need it. They're ready.
They're ready?
They're ready.
How exciting.
They're ready to impress everybody.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, go and be impressed at Laycock Street Theatre. Thanks for coming in, Stu.
No worries. 107.7
2GO. Music that makes you feel good. 107.7 2GO. Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer. Gale wind warning today. Rain all day. Hazardous surf. It's all there. And it's all a bit slippery on the roads too. So please take care. 15 degrees is all we're going to get today, and right now we're at 10, so not long to go until we get to our maximum, but hopefully you are somewhere warm this morning and keeping yourself warm with a nice cup of coffee.
Yeah, look, it doesn't take long to warm up, to be honest, once you get amongst it.
Once you do push-ups on the floor like you, Rob Palmer.
Yeah, just throw a few in there. Why not try five now?
Me?
Yeah, just try five now. While you're trying five now, I'll just fill everyone in on how the show was today. There goes one, two. Listen to her. So, we talked about a whole heap of stuff. Escaping from jail. That was very early. How did you lose your ring? I've lost it twice. She's still going.
I did seven.
I don't wear a wedding ring anymore. I explained that earlier. Also, we had your rocket ship.
Yeah, we
was
gave away
up for grabs.
Gave away the rocket ship that we had at Coco's 21st. Yeah,
yep, to a lady from Metalong who's going to use it at her school.
Yeah, fantastic.
She's a teacher, which is awesome.
Look, congratulations to everyone who rang and won tickets to our loose parenting party. We are looking forward to that on Friday, and there'll be more tickets to join us tomorrow.
And also, thank you, Central Coast, for your unanimous, almost unanimous support in sleeping with your kids as long as they feel like a cuddle.
Yep. Lots went on today. If you missed any of it, you can catch up at 2gofm.com.au.
So let the sun shine in, face it with a grin. Oh, pardon me.
Why did you start singing that?
I just felt really sunshiny because of all the love that was being handed to me from the Central Coast.
It's time for us to go get a coffee. Have a fantastic day. Mickey D is in seconds, and he has your next opportunity to win 30 grand with The Secret Sound. Have a good one.
Go well.